not a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
Amen. Well, God bless you. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good to have you here this morning. And those joining us online, God bless you as well. Good to have you. Amen. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time in His presence today. Let's sing that song, I'll Fly Away. I was singing that this morning. Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away.
My father's dead.
Why don't we thank him tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're homesick.
Amen. We're homesick. We've got a number of prayer requests we want to take to our Lord. It's good to have the Claybills back. Brother Chris, why don't you come, brother, and just open the service in a word of prayer. And if you would also just remember the tithes and the offering, we'll have the brothers come and we'll take that right up. We want to remember Brother Smith in prayer. He's at home sick with bronchitis. We want to remember him. And Sister Doris Reynolds is asking for prayer. She's at home not feeling well and having some back problems. The Buchanan family, Sister Sarah, Sister Shirley, and also Rayleigh Shepherd, they're sick and not well, so we just want to remember them in prayer. Brother Ben McCafferty, he's hurt his back and hips, so we just want to remember Brother Ben. And remember my son as he's away, he's over in Europe, so we just pray, Lord, just be with him and give him traveling mercies as he comes back on Tuesday. Also want to remember the drums in prayer. It's good to see Sister Carrie in church. So we want to continue to remember Sister Carrie Whitlock in prayer. The Lord would just continue to touch her body. If you have a need in your heart, just raise your hand as you go to our Heavenly Father, Brother Chris.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to have this opportunity to come into your house this morning. Lord, we've heard the needs of that have been brought before the people, and we just ask that you would be with each one, Father. Lord, there's those that are grieving and those that need a physical touch. Those that need traveling mercies, Lord, I don't remember all the needs, but Lord, we know that you're a faithful God and that you do. Lord, we've come here with one purpose, and that purpose is to be drawn closer to you. So Lord, as we prepare for the remainder of the service, just ask that you would be with Brother Jason as he leads us in song to draw us closer to you. Be with Brother Barry as he brings forth the word. Father, we're also listening. Ask that you would be with the offering, the gift, and the giver, the intended purpose this morning, Father. Lord, once again, just draw us closer to you as our desire this morning. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Lincolnton, it's good to see you. God bless you. Good to have you home. Brother Amoir and the whole family, God bless you. It's good to see you as well. Amen. Brother Keith has a special for us. Brother Keith, why don't you come this time?
I remember those good old youthful days when I didn't have to have the words. I just had a lot on my mind this week, and I've been attending the celebration of life for Sister Connie. I was really, really touched last Sunday as Brother Barry was telling about how that her hands had just changed right there and had started straightening out. That really impressed on me, and I've just been praying about that all week and just reflecting on it. And this old song came to my mind because it reminded me of my dad too. If you know it, sing along. It's even older than Brother John over there. I once heard a story of a sainted old mother who'd lived out her life here on earth. As she lay on her deathbed, her friends gathered round, and these were the last words she said. Oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Step into sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares. years, for of trading it all for a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. So low, but she still had a smile on her face. She said, I hear singing, oh, they're waiting for me. Then she looked up to heaven and said, oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Oh, look there to greet me when I step into sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares. For I'm trading all for a mansion.
Song I sang a couple weeks back, introduced the verses to y'all. Worthy, worthy is a lamb slain, as we just get ready to prepare our hearts for the word. Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time, for the chains of defeat there.
Barry.
Let's sing that song. He's in the house. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, some began to say, he's in the house, oh, death has to flee. This heart of mine and gave me life again. I'm just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines on me for all the world to see.
Lord, speak to us now through the word of life. This is your word. These are your people. I pray you'd bring the two together, that the word might just touch hearts and lives. We present ourselves, Lord, as living sacrifices this morning. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'd look at us through the blood of the Savior himself. I pray that you would just be free to move among us today, Lord. Bring healing to all who need it. And may your Holy Spirit, Lord, just take complete control. We give you the day. We give you this service, Lord. We give you everything that happens today and ask that you would just be honored in our lives, our conduct, our worship, our thinking, Lord. May you just be glorified in all of it. We love you and we thank you for your many blessings and how you provide. We pray, Lord, for those who are needy today. We pray for those who mourn. And we ask, Lord, that you would just move among us in a very personal way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. He's in the house one more time. Let's sing it together.
He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His name. He's in the house.
Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody near you and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We let the musicians take their places this morning. And may God bless you today. And welcome each and every one. Now, I just want to begin here this morning with some business. And so I want you just to lock in for a moment here, and I want to bring you some things here that will kind of bring us up to date on events that are happening here in the church. I just want to say it's good to have Sister Amber back today. God bless you. Good to have you here. And for each and every one of you, and I don't want to miss anybody, but it's certainly great to have Brother Anwar and all the family here. God bless you. It's certainly an honor to have you with us, and may the Lord richly bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, great to have you here. And also, as well, Brother Singh, Brother Major Singh. Brother Major, put your hand up here. He is also with Brother Anwar in New York and has moved down as well. And so we're going to have ourselves an international dinner. That's what that means, folks. That's what that means. And good to have each and every one of you here today. Good to have Lincoln back. Good to have all the Clayvilles back. We certainly missed you being away. Great to have the Sylvesters back. And each one of you, good to have the Ivies back. And man, it's a lot of people. And we are certainly honored to have all of you with us today. I just want to say we appreciate the efforts that were put forth on Thursday for the memorial for Sister Connie Hughes. Brother Troy was greatly blessed. And the family, they had wonderful words to say about the church, how welcome they felt and how nice everything was and how great the meal was. And so for everyone that helped and participated in that, we really do appreciate that. And I read one time a long time ago that somebody said, your respect towards this life is measured by the amount of respect you have for those that have passed away. When you show respect to people who pass away, that's a measure of how well you respect life itself. And I've always thought that that's true. And I think, you know, you can't summarize a person's life in an hour. It's impossible to do that. But it's good for us to gather and to pay tribute and to memorialize somebody as precious as Sister Connie was. And so it was really, really great to have that. And I appreciate all the input there and the music and sound and everything that was done. It was also nice to have Sister Hope Steeman with us this morning. God bless you, Sister Leah's sister, and glad to have you with us today. Now, let's do this in this order here this morning. Now, we've got a couple of birthdays we wanted to mention. May 6th is Billy Ivy's birthday. Is that right, Brother Billy? God bless you. And May 8th is Sister Carrie Whitlock's birthday and also Jackie Sylvester's birthday, right? God bless you both. And May 9th is Mitch Buchanan's birthday. And Mitch is having quite a month. Very special month. We appreciate all of that. All right. Dates to remember. We have May 16th, Our Ladies' Tea. Now, you got to watch this lineup here. May 16th is the Ladies' Tea. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, right? 11 o'clock in the morning. And we also have Brother Nathaniel Sias, who's going to be with us from Ohio, on that Sunday. Brother Nathaniel is Chris Take's pastor. Okay? And we've known Brother Nathaniel and Sister Charity for many, many years, and they're going to finally get to come. I've been after him for a while to come and visit us. May 24th, Lord willing, I'll be in Germany ministering over there in Marcus Becker's church. And Marcus Becker's not the pastor. Brother Gerd Rodewald is the pastor over there. I've known Brother Gerd many, many years. We have traveled in Russia and Ukraine, different places over the years, and he's been trying to get me to get over there. So, Lord willing, I'll be there on May 23rd, 24th. Matt Watkins will be here on that weekend, May 24th. The following weekend, that Wednesday night, Brother Samuel Taylor will be here from Ghana. And then on May 31st, Brother Tim Dodd will be here for that weekend. And we're really looking forward to that. We're going to have two services on that weekend and maybe a get-together with the brothers on that weekend of May 31st. The Wednesday after that, Brother Brian Naidoo will be here from South Africa. And you will not want to miss any of these services. All right? Now, you may think, well, are Becky and I going away on that time period because we have all those ministers? Absolutely not. I wouldn't miss this. So we have been seriously and fastidiously working on trying to get away for the break that you gave us as a gift, but it's been very, very difficult. I will tell you, it's been very difficult to try to find a slot where we could actually get away for a break. And we are working, Lord willing, we are working on the end of July and into the first of August. So we're tentatively planning that. I know people have been asking me about that, and I appreciate that. But it has been very difficult. I've already committed to a meeting in Scotland, and there's supposed to be, Lord willing, a dedication in Ireland. So I know I'm not supposed to work on my time away, but I'm probably going to have those. I'm probably going to do it. So we're not sure yet. We're just working on that. So just giving you an update there. But it's let me tell you, it's not an easy thing just to drop everything and go and, to have no commitments during that time. It is really quite a challenging thing. June 14th, Lord willing, we'll have our communion service. That'll be on that Sunday afternoon. And then I mentioned to you about August 15th. Possibly we'll be moving our family day. It was going to be in June, and then we had to move it because the facility had FEMA money that came through, and so they're renovating, and they moved us back. So we have not heard back from them yet, but as soon as we do, we will. We'll have a time around that date anyway, going back to school time. So that'll be our family day. Now, just to give you a little glimpse, and this is Lord willing, okay? But a little glimpse, this is our men's meeting scheduled for October 9th to 11th. And when you look at the lineup, Brother Jason, Brother Matt Watkins, Brother Donnie Reagan, Brother Paula Fontaine, Tim Dodd, and Brother Jan Hansen from Norway, that's quite a lineup for the men's meeting. So we are, as you know, we are going to open up that link for our brothers here at HBT, and that will be a open and shut case, and then we'll open it up to the public after that. But this is going to go quickly. This is Lord willing. I have one minister who may have to change his plan because something came up yesterday, so we're just working on this, Lord willing, here, but that's the direction that we're moving for the men's meeting. I also wanted to say to Brother Aaron Nangamaza, Brother Aaron has done just a tremendous job here, and I just wanted to show you one screen. This is Bible distribution in 2026 in Africa, and we began this project to distribute Bibles in about 15 different nations in Africa. And Brother Aaron has just been doing a tremendous job, and now we have funds to supply Bibles in South America. And so we're working on getting Bibles over in that part of the world as well. So this is really exciting. And you see that older gentleman who's here with his own Bible. I got, you know, dozens and dozens of pictures of people who have their own Bible. That's exciting for them. It just thrills my heart to see that taking place there. So we appreciate it's been some great support given for this. And I really appreciate Brother Aaron's work in getting this done. He's been a great help here. So I just want to say that in relation to this, that now that we have Brother Anwar here with Brother Aaron, I just look at there's a reason for these things happening. There's a reason for having such qualified and dedicated people who have a heart for missions in our own church here. And just to see the gospel spread and what we've been able to do here as an assembly, I'm just excited about what the Lord has for us going forward, because we have great manpower and great gifts and talents that I believe can be used for the good of the kingdom. So our goal has always been and is continuing to be just to help find the last seed so we can go home. And if God's using our assembly to do that, I say, Lord, just, give us direction and vision so we know exactly what he wants done with limited resources. So we appreciate that very much. I'm excited about what's in store. Now, I just wanted to add this part here. And Brother Aaron, you guys be ready in just a moment here. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Jeff made a couple of comments about some of the deacons' rules there that were mentioned. And I appreciate that they showed me that list of things, you know, like turning off your cell phone in church and all the other things that take place. Now, if you look around, we are in a bit of an interesting situation where, you know, we're fairly full and getting a little fuller. And there are good problems in life and bad problems in life. That's a good problem. But the problem with the good problem is that when you grow and you expand, our facilities become a little strained, right? We might not have enough restroom space. We don't have enough fellowship hall space. We've already outgrown it. We have, a need for Sunday school areas and so forth. You know, it's obvious that as the church grows, the church will go through growing pains. And so, you know, we have to think about that going forward. And we're actively with the leadership team here. We're actively thinking about what do we do now? Because if we continue to grow, we're going to have more people in the fellowship hall for service, and that's not ideal. And so, you know, I want you to know we are thinking about that. But one of the things that was mentioned was the nursery. Now, we have our nursery over on the side here, and it's a smaller place. What we ideally want everyone to do is to be able to come into the assembly, into the sanctuary, and enjoy service. But we know that kids are kids. And Brother Branham talked about this in his own church as well, and they had to adapt and adjust and so forth in his church as well. So we want our goal is to have all the families be able to be in here, in the assembly here. But, you know, when you have a child that is maybe upset or hungry or something's wrong, we obviously have to tend to it. So here's what Brother Branham said. Now, we're hoping someday, soon, the Lord willing, to have a nice big tabernacle where we'll have all kinds of Sunday school rooms for the classes. They're going through the same kind of thing. This is 1959. Going through the same kind of situation. And there'd be no interfering in the services at all. He's just walking or tromping around. And these little fellows are restless and they don't understand. And we have to understand them. They can't understand us. So a lot of times the little kids don't understand how important it is to be still in the sanctuary because something's happening in the sanctuary. But we do. And so therefore we have to work on training our kids to be respectful in the house of God and be mindful of what's going on here. Brother Branham goes on to say, now there's little children, little babies, and they don't know no different. And the only way they can get what they want is to cry for it. And that's God's way. And sometimes it's a drink of water or they need attention. Now, I need to refer to the first sentence again. All right, all you guys look at the first sentence here. Little children, little babies. And so We have, by the grace of God, a dedicated room. It was called on the list a cry room where the mothers can take their babies. Now, maybe he said, I won't even notice it being anointed, but other people sitting near, it bothers them. And now that's really true, because sometimes, you know, the deacons will say, well, did you see so-and-so? And I said, no, I didn't. And it's because I'm focused here, and the anointing causes a lot of things to be blocked out. And that's not intentional, but I often don't see things here. But I know if you're sitting there, movement matters, right? Are we okay? So these are just real practical things that come up when you have a church full of folks. And he says they come to hear the service. So the mothers, if your baby starts whimpering, you can't help that. And he says you ought to bring it. A real mother wants to take her baby to church, and that's the thing you should do. And so it's a good thing for families to be here. But when we have little kids who are growing up in the church, we have to allow for them. And then parents also had to be mindful of their kids in the sanctuary as well. There should be a little baby class, a little bit of baby class. There should be from about 5 years old. And Brother Ram's referring to Sunday school here. And all the others that's under that should be kept with the mother. So the little kids should stay with their parents and taken to the nursery if it's necessary during the time of preaching, if they go to carrying on. And he said, that's what the nursery is out here for. And so we realize that our facility is limited. We don't have huge facilities, because we're running out of space. But we're asking you to be mindful. We're asking you, the deacon, and this is what the deacons wanted to get across. So we were asking you to be mindful of your movements during the service, during the preaching. So once the preaching starts, it's good to minimize our movements here. But obviously, if you have to go, if you're going to die, if that's the end of things, you're certainly obviously welcome to go outside and do it out there. Or do whatever it is that you need to do. Do whatever you need to do and then slip back in. But with as minimal amount of movement as possible. And if your child needs attention, by all means, give it attention outside. We have new babies coming, which is exciting. And we want you to tend to them and look after them. But make it your goal that you want to sit in the assembly and be here inside as much as you can and help the kids to understand that, this is a different place. And we certainly want to show respect here. But from the deacons and from myself, these are things that we all need to be aware of. So we know it's a challenge. Hey, listen, I raised four hooligans. And I know what it's like. And my wife played piano the whole time. And I was preaching the whole time. And we raised four hooligans. So we had to work at this. Like Brother Branham, one of the most accurate things he said was that church order begins at home. Church order begins at home. So we began at home working with our guys before they got into the church of how we're going to conduct ourselves. Certain times we can do this, certain times we can't. And so we work towards that. It's not instant and it's not automatic, but we worked at it. And obviously in assembly like ours, we have to work at it as well. So, are we okay? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does everybody still love our deacons?
Yes.
Okay, really great. we appreciate our deacons and the work that they do. And in saying that, I want to conclude these remarks by saying that in a church like ours, where we have growth happening and we got new young families coming up, we got engaged and married and kids coming and so forth, and that's a great thing that happens in the church, and we're excited about all of that. We also have some key workers in our church who are not getting any younger. And I know they don't want me to say that, but this past year we blew out 80 candles on Brother Tom's birthday cake. And so, obviously, think about it. We can't expect Brother Tom to act like a 50-year-old, although he does. Look at some of our elders here who, when we have a church dinner, they're the first ones in, and they're rolling up their sleeves and they're going at it. But we, as the younger generation, we have to jump in and say, hey, we can help with that. And that's on us. That's on us. And we love activities. We love doing stuff. We love having events. We love having gatherings. We love having dinners. We got our graduates coming up here soon, and you know, just all of these different events that are going on these different weekends here. It'd be nice to have you know, some get-togethers here. But let me tell you, that takes work to feed a group like this. That takes work, and we cannot. And logically, we cannot leave it to just a handful of our elders to take that on and, you know, steer it all through. We've got to step up to the plate here. So if you're, you know, if you're interested in helping, you need to jump in, or let me know, or let the deacons know you want to jump in, and we'll find a place for you to jump. So we appreciate each and every one of you, and I love what we do here. I love how, you know, we... work like a family and get together and enjoy one another's company and different events. I love it. And it's been a real goal of mine to be able to have an assembly that would act like that and to be able to enjoy one another's company and all of that. And I appreciate our trustees and our deacons and all the work that they do. And, I, you know, it's not any one person or any one small group of people. It's got to be everybody that works together to make stuff happen. Is that okay? All right. And everybody said, now you're supposed to say, I love the pastor when you do that. All right. Now we have one more item of business that we're going to do this morning. And so we'll have Brother Aaron and Sister Trish come in, and we have a dedication this morning. Sister Becky, would you mind just slipping back up? And I'm sorry, I forgot that. And we'll have them come on in this morning. And we have a new addition to the Nangamaza family. And so... we'll have them come right on up here this morning. And I'm going to read in Mark chapter 10 as they're coming here this morning. This is wonderful to have. There's a busy man coming here. Come on up. Bring your family here. Wonderful. We appreciate Brother Aaron and Sister Trish and all they mean to us, and they're just, I always call them the most American African I've ever met. And they're just a great asset in the church and a great blessing, and we appreciate you guys very much. In Mark chapter 10, and they brought young children unto him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought him. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And he took them up in his arms, and he blessed them. Yes, Jesus loves me. Let's sing that this morning, just a verse. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. This is little Rudo. And in Shona, Rudo is the word for love, right? And so I could see why you'd call her that. Rudo Gianna Nangamaza. And my hands are cold, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to bless this little child and to dedicate it back to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would cause her to grow and be strong and to learn to love you with all of her heart. Father, we thank you for this family, for the parents, Lord, that have dedicated their lives to you and served you. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would always be present among them. Give them wisdom and patience. And Lord, may their love just be expressed to their children in a precious and a special way. We thank you for this little girl and ask your blessing upon her and the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. God bless you. In Shona, she's saying the pastor has cold hands. Pastor has cold hands. Jesus loved me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Live Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Chorus. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16. Sorry for the long preliminaries there, but there's a lot of exciting things happening. And just want to share them with you. And I know we'll need to remind you of those again, but we'll do it. I'm excited about what's coming up, for sure. Kind of reminds me of the boy, I think I told you before. The little boy was on the elevator in the Empire State Building going up. Never seen an elevator go up so far. And the elevators in the Empire State Building go really fast. And so he was in there with his dad, and he was quite nervous. And that thing was moving on, going to the top floor. And finally he looked at his dad and he said, "Does God know we're coming?" Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. Let's start at 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." May God add his blessing. You may be seated. Now, if you are an astute member of our church, and I know we have many, you will remember that I read that sermon title and text last Sunday. I thought about that text all week, and then I came to the end of the week and realized, my goodness, I haven't even really scratched the surface of this verse. It's a very important and a powerful verse. Now, let me wade into this morning, and I'm going to try to control my voice. I had a procedure done this weekend, testing, and there were head things in my throat, so I don't want to lose my voice here, so I'm going to try to gauge things. But I'm excited, all right? So even if I don't get loud, is that okay? I'm excited. The Bible has been a work of God that's been covered up. Now, this is quite something for a prophet to say in 1965, because we've had great ministers through the ages, great church age messengers. The Apostle Paul took the mask, if you like, off the Old Testament, right? Jehovah of the old was unmasked in Jesus Christ. Would you agree? So, in a sense, this is not new, but it's really quite a thing for him to say that a lot of the Bible has been covered up, even though it's been preached all for the last 2,000 years. It was interesting. I did a little experiment with AI. I wanted to know what a certain book was about, and I didn't have the book, but somebody recommended this book to me, and so I wanted to know what it was about. It was on the subject of healing, and so I really wanted to know what the book was. Is it worth reading, this book? And so the AI said, "Can you give me do you have any pictures of the book?" And I said, "No, don't have any pictures of it." And they said, "Do you have the table of contents?" I said, "I happen to have the table of contents and a picture." So I took that photo off my phone and I gave it to AI. And the AI said, hey, here's what the book's all about. And it gleaned all that or made all that up from the table of contents. Well, eventually then, a few days later, I got a copy of the book. And I copied some of the book and showed it to the same AI. And I said, here's the content. And said, oh, wow, this is way better than what I came up with. So I asked it, so in other words, you made up a lot of that stuff that you just gave me? And he said, yeah. Okay, just so long as we're on the, we're on the same page here. I'm not suggesting that this is the scenario through the ages, but there are times when we think we know something and we really don't. You know, we don't know the full story. Is that okay? We don't know we haven't got the complete picture. Brother Branham's telling us he promised in this day that he would take the mask off and we would see it. God in Morphia, in a man called Jesus. God in Morphia, in his church. God, look at it. God above us. God with us. The condescending of God. So think about the Bible as a work that's covered up. It is absolutely hidden. It's just like if I took my hand and, you know, I got it veiled here. You'd make an assumption and say, well, I know exactly what's underneath there, right? You'd be looking like somebody looking at the Bible through the ages. I know exactly what's there. And Brother Branham comes along because through the ages, people had said, there is a thing called a Trinity, right? Everybody believed the Trinity, right? Yeah. Martin Luther preached the Trinitarian gospel. Don't be shocked, he did, because that was the amount, if you like, that was the amount of light they had. That was the kind of understanding they had. Brother Branham comes along and says, no, it ain't. It ain't a Trinity. And all the oneness people got excited and said, oh, wow, then he must be oneness. And Brother Branham said, no. Not a oneness. As a matter of fact, I'm less oneness than Trinitarian in my thinking. And a lot of people scratched their heads. And Brother Branham began to teach about God in three offices, not God in three persons. As he said, a person has to have a personality, and God can't have three different personalities. But he said, God can work in three offices. God above us, God with us, and God in us. God above us in the Father, God with us in Christ, and God in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So Brother Bram's looking at the same Bible everybody in the last 2,000 years has looked at, and he's not calling it a Trinity like everybody else. Because people make assumption that they know what it is, but he says, either, and I believe he's right, the Bible has been a work covered up. So until the cover comes off, you really don't know the detail, although you have a general idea. Just like this. Ha ha! Ha ha, you all thought that was my hand. And I don't mean to make light of it, but Brother Branham's saying, no, it ain't, no, it ain't, no, it ain't. And everybody's saying, yes, it is. He's saying, no, it ain't, no, it ain't. Are we together? Amen. Now watch what he says. The book of Revelation has more symbols in it than all the rest of the books in the Bible. Because that is that's the way that God cloaked the book of Revelation, if you like. God had a blanket over it, and nobody really fully understood. Therefore, he said, because it's a book of prophecy, it's a prophetic book, therefore it has to be understood by prophetic class. The book is not meant for everybody. Imagine, the book, he said, is not meant for everybody. There's nobody can understand it, hardly. This book is made for a certain class of people. That's pretty amazing. This book is made for a certain class of people. Amen. Do you believe you're a part of that class? Amen. And he goes back to Deuteronomy 28:28, the hidden things belong to the Lord, but the secret things belong unto us. And he reveals to us, his children, the hidden things. So everybody doesn't get this unveiling. Everybody doesn't see the unveiling. Everybody doesn't see the unmasking, right? Follow me now. Don't go anywhere, because there is a class that gets to see it, but there's a majority that don't. And the people who get to see it, they should be happy. And the people who don't try, and they try to understand. They probe at it like they did through the ages. But now we have the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. Now the cover's off. The mask is off. And so therefore, it is made plain. Now, you remember in the healing of John Ryan. You remember that story? And John Ryan was the one who was in the barber chair and took off the barber sheet and ran out on the street and said he was healed. And Brother Branham prayed for him and said it would come in so many days. You remember the story? Some of you remember the story. And Brother Branham said that after that happened, Brother Branham was talking to a rabbi, talking to a Jewish man. And the conversation was interesting. The rabbi, he said, no doubt, a notable deed has been done to him, John Ryan, but it could not have been Jesus Christ, because Jesus wasn't the Christ. It could not have been Jesus Christ. Now, something happened, but it could not have been Jesus Christ because Jesus wasn't the Christ. Stop. Jesus asked the disciples, what's men's opinion? Tell me what they think. Tell me what the people out there think. And, well, some say he's a prophet, and some say he's Jeremiah, and some say he's John come back again, and so forth. But he doesn't stop there. He asks, but now tell me, who do you think that I am? He wants to go this extra little mile here and say, who do you think I am? And he answers and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So Peter's got something that today is hidden from the Jews. Would you believe that? Amen. There are some Jews that follow the message, and I know some of them, and they're very wonderful people here. But the Jews have been, that branch has been hewed off the tree to be grafted back on again. And so what this Jew is saying is quite honest. He's saying what he understands is that this could not have been Jesus because Jesus wasn't the Christ. The Christ to him meant the anointed one. And you know what? The anointed one is nothing less than God himself. Messiah is nothing less than God himself. Are we okay? The Messiah is nothing less than God himself. God in a form, God in morphia. And this rabbi says to Brother Branham, no, he says, Jesus wasn't him. He said, you Gentiles can't chop God in three pieces and hand him to a Jew. Brother Branham said, some of them might chop him in three pieces, but I don't. No, sir. Amen. You know why? Because Brother Branham's looking at the Bible with the veil off. He's looking at, come on, he's looking at the word with the veil off the book. And there's a lot of people still looking at the book through their denominational veil, yes, through their traditional veil. And that's the way they see it. And they're hanging on to that interpretation. And the Jew says, no, I mean, that's not even biblical. It's not even scriptural at all. And so you can't hand that to me. And Brother Branham said, I'm not. He said, there's one God, and that God, Jehovah, was manifested in flesh here in his son, Christ Jesus, which is exactly Brother Branham's teaching, that it was not three different gods, but God above us, God with us, and God in us. And the Jews stopped right there at God with us, right? The Jews stopped right there because they either had to agree that that was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, or he wasn't. And if he's a Messiah, we've got to lay down what we have and go follow him. Only, let me tell you, only a revelation will cause you to lay down what you have and follow Christ. All right, now, I showed you this last Sunday. This is the idea of condescending. And our the amazing thing about God is that he actually condescended, came to our world. And it means... you know, if you take the shortened version here of the word descend, I could be on top of a ladder and I descend, but I'm the same person, right? I just change position. That's all. But when you condescend in this biblical sense, now you put aside your dignity and superiority and you assume equality with one regarded as inferior. Now, it was still God, but he put himself in the form of someone who was inferior to God. He made himself, he stepped into a body just like you and I have a body. And our bodies are not superior, our bodies are inferior, right? And so this was it's an amazing thing. Paul clearly teaches this. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself a form of a servant and made himself in the likeness of men. So he came in the fashion of men and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Imagine how God changed his position. He didn't just come down the ladder, but he came down the ladder and became just like us and then submitted himself to death on the cross so that he could fulfill the whole plan and purpose of redemption that God had designed in the first place, right? Oh, it's exciting. I mean, that's the gospel, right? And you didn't need to come to church this morning to hear that. You already knew that. You didn't know the part about the glove and the cloth. I got you on that one, didn't I? Now, follow me now here as we look at this. And when the word is made manifest, revealed, they won't accept it. I gave you this quote last Sunday. Like I said, I've been thinking about all this since the whole week. And they won't accept it. He's talking about denominational people. When the word is made manifest and revealed, they won't accept it because they lean to their own understanding. They have their own view of things. They're still looking at it through the veil. They're looking at it through a pair of colored glasses. And so that's the way they see it. And they say the church was built here. It's a beautiful place. It's a great organization. Why shouldn't we belong to it? I'll trust in that. And you know what they're doing? They're missing the answer to the question that Jesus is asking. Jesus is asking, but who do you say that I am? And they're looking at it and saying, oh, wow, you know what? We're members of this church. We're members of this denomination. We are Christians who belong to this. And we're a part of this church right here. And this church has been around for a long time. And it was built here. It's a beautiful place, great organization. My grandfather gave money for the building of this church. And my grandmother died and she left money for the Sunday school wing and so forth. Why shouldn't we belong to that? We're going to trust in that. This church is made of brick. It survived lots of storms and political upheavals and wars and everything else. Why shouldn't we trust in it? The church is solid. That's not what Jesus is asking. That's not what he's asking. Now, remember now, we're talking about the church he builds, right? We're talking about the Spirit-built church. And that's not what he's asking. He's not asking, do you love your church? He's not asking, do you want to stay a part of that church because it's solid? He's not asking, do you want to, what do you think of your church building? He's not asking that at all. That is not even in the discussion at all. And Brother Branham's saying, yet when the word is made manifest and revealed, people will not accept it because they're leaning to their own understanding. Now, let me ask you, do you believe that when Peter answered Jesus that he was leaning on his own understanding? No. Let me ask it again. When Peter answered Jesus, was he coming up with that from his own understanding? No. I want to get everybody on this one. When Jesus asked Peter the question, who do you think I am, was Peter coming up with the answer on his own? No. Because Jesus even says so. He says, flesh and blood doesn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. So this is not Peter's conclusion. Everybody had an opinion, but not Peter. And so Jesus pursues this, and he wants to know, who do men think that I am? And you know what? Everybody had an opinion. There was a whole bunch of people there from Believe the Sign who believed that Jesus was a false prophet in that day. There was a whole lot of people who believed that Jesus was a false teacher. They believed that he was Beelzebub, a habitation of the devil. That's what they believed that he was, right? Now, we had other people there that were not bad people, like the woman at the well. She says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She had an opinion too on who he was, right? How about Nicodemus? You remember what he says? Master, we believe thou art a teacher come from God. Everybody had an opinion about who Jesus was. I mean, he was the buzzword in that day. All of a sudden, Israel's come alive with these supernatural events. And I know someone at my work who had brought somebody to the meeting and was healed. Jesus never even touched them, but they were in the meeting and their eyes came open. And you imagine how quickly that would spread today. Imagine how quickly that would spread today. You know, if somebody's eyes miraculously came open or there was some supernatural act that happened there. I mean, everybody, social media would be full with that, wouldn't it? It'd be full of that stuff. And you know, people would be saying, hey, where did that happen? I want to go. I got an issue. I got a problem. I need help. And they would be going. They'd bring in their sick folks and so on. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. But everybody had an opinion about who Jesus was. But Jesus wanted to know where their knowledge was coming from. He wanted to know, what is your revelation? Because your revelation gives away its origin. Your revelation gives away its origin. Your revelation, your answer to this question right here, and that's what I want to leave you with today, is your answer to this question tells me where you're getting your revelation. I can tell where you get your revelation by how you answer this question. Because every one of us have to answer this question. Who do you say he is? Or let me ask you this. Who do you say this message reveals? Who do you say this message reveals? I'm not asking you who Brother Branham is. I'm not asking you who the fivefold ministry is. I'm asking you, who do you think this message reveals? It doesn't reveal Brother Branham. Brother Branham was the microphone or the voice that God used to bring a message to this world. But who was Brother Branham speaking about when he said, what were the seals in the Easter, in the rising of the sun? He said, what were those seals? Those seals were Christ, amen, revealing Christ. Amen. So what does this message genuinely reveal? It reveals the Christ, the anointed one, doesn't it? Amen. It reveals, come on, what was his theme for all of the years of ministry? What was Brother Branham's theme, scripture that he used over all those years? Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Christ, here's Brother Branham in 1954, and he says it 100 times. You can find it. What does the word Christ mean? It means the anointed one. It means, and God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So this was not another God, but this was God in Christ. Amen. And that's why Jesus said, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. John 17, when Jesus was praying, he says that thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life. Now, nobody gets eternal life given to them. But when you look at that word give in the Greek there, it means that they go back to that. They return to that realization that they have eternal life. You know what? I never always believed that I had eternal life. I just believed that I was a rascal born on the earth to Frank and Betty Coffee. That's all. I never knew that I had eternal life. But one day God gave me back the revelation that I was an eternal son of God. And so therefore, he said that he should give them eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So whatever form God steps into, the elect of God can always recognize that that's God. I said, whatever form that God steps into, the elect somehow, some way can recognize that's the voice of God. Just like that eagle in the barnyard could recognize that was an eagle scream, although she had never seen an eagle or heard an eagle scream before. We don't know how it works. We don't know how intellectually it works. We don't know how we can teach it and give it to somebody else. But that eagle in the barnyard who was practicing duckery, who was a practicing duck and living the duck life, right? Ducks are us. That's all that he ever, chickens are us. That's all he'd ever known. Right? To be a barnyard animal. And all of a sudden, it was just a voice that sounded out. And there was something in him that God had placed in him to recognize that voice. We can't explain it. And neither can we give it to somebody else. But all of a sudden, that little eaglet recognized, wow, there's something in that voice that I connect with. And I got to go. I got to go. I got to be there. I got to leave this place and I got to go to that. And it's a revelation of identity, isn't it? It's a revelation of that eagle's identity. Now, Brother Branham says, I would not say this because the sixth sense, that five senses are no good no more. I would not say that because we received the sixth sense, which is faith, that the five senses are no good no more. But I believe this. If eternal life is knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is more than just what our senses declare. Follow me. I'm not reading the board. He is more than what our senses declare. There's a lot of people will go into a healing meeting, a religious service, and go into, listen, I remember the stories my father-in-law told me about going into a snake handling church. And those people had an anointing. He said it scared the liver out of him. And he was not a person who was easily scared. And he said it scared the liver out of him. And those people, he said, they separated the faithful and the not faithful, front and back of the church. The faithful came up to the front. The not faithful were in the back of the church, a little church. And I know exactly where the church is. I passed it many, many times on the highway, Interstate 77, going up through West Virginia. And he said, we were standing in the back. And he said there was a real aura, a real presence in that church, not a great presence. And he said, it'd make the hair stand up in your back. And he said, it was scary. And he said that when they brought out the strychnine glasses of it, and they brought out the snakes that they had and so forth, he said those people, he said they had an anointing about them. They were like in a trance. And they would handle those snakes and put them back in the basket again. And I mean, he said it was just an amazing thing. Listen, I'm not saying that anyone outside the message is like a snake handler, but I'm just saying this, that God is more than what our senses declare. Because the quote, I've said it many times. Brother Bram said, God gave us five senses, but they were never meant for us to contact God. Right? Now, if you contact God, your five senses are going to get involved. Right? You're going to feel it. You're going to know it. My goodness, you're going to react to that emotionally. And that's absolutely true. But God never gave you your senses to feel whether that's God or not. So I can't go and determine that is God by how I feel, by how excited I get. Because you know what? After church, something can happen to you on the way home and you're not so excited anymore. You can get in a car accident on your way home from church when you're so excited and then you're not excited anymore. Or you can go home, and the policeman nailed you for speeding on the way home. You're not so excited anymore, right? So excitement comes and goes. It's not a permanent thing. And I'm saying to you that I believe that God is bigger than our five senses. He's absolutely bigger than our five senses. And what we experience by our senses is not good enough. Because God is much more than what we see and what we feel. God is not emotionally known. That's not how God is known. God is not emotionally known. You can't cry your way into eternal life. You can't weep your way into eternal life. He said, these senses were given to you by God. And he said, the super sense is the Holy Spirit, the faith of God that dwells in you. Now think about Matthew 16 and what Peter answered. For it's so far above your natural senses, the spiritual man is above the natural. It's so far above the natural sense as the spiritual man is above the natural man. The spiritual man inside of me, the new creation, that is so far above the natural man that you know what? I can stand here and say that even if this flesh would drop and die, you know what? I got a place to go. I got another body waiting for me over on the other side. What's inside of me is way more powerful than what I'm wearing today. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so therefore, you know, the natural things in life, yeah, we react to them. But listen to what he's saying here, that what we have, that faith of God that dwells on the inside, it's so far above the natural senses, just like the spiritual man is so far above the natural man. It makes you believe things you cannot see. How many would agree with that? Do you believe that there's going to be a millennium? Do you believe there's going to be a rapture? Do you believe there's going to be a wedding supper? Do you believe that, God's going to send two prophets to Israel? All of that is prophetic. All of that is scriptural. All of that is not real. I mean, you can't touch the wedding supper table. You've never been to a wedding supper. You've never been to 1,000 years of peace. And you have nothing in your senses to declare that that's real. But there's something on the inside of you that says, yeah, that's absolutely real. And I know where I'm going. I'm going to that place. Because a natural man is inferior to the spiritual man. But what a shame that people rely on natural things to prove God's identity. God must be in this church because of the way I feel. God must be in the church because of the way they sing. God must be in this church because these young people are so dedicated. He said it makes you believe things you cannot see. It makes you act where you do not think the five senses would ever think about it. It makes you act where you do not think the five senses would even think about it. All right, Joshua, we're going to take down Jericho. You and me, God says, we're going to take down Jericho. We are not going to do nuclear weapons. We're going to walk around it. We're going to walk around it with a lantern. We're going to walk around it with a trumpet. And we're going to do it, I don't know, 7 days. Let's do it 7 days. Great number, 7 days. Let's do it. You got time? Yeah, no problem. I'll clear my schedule. 7 days. I mean, it's not logical, folks. That's not how you bring down. I've been to Jericho. I've looked down in the hole and seen the foundation. That's not how you bring down cities that are like that, where you can have chariot races too wide, two chariots wide. And that's not logical. Joshua says, amen, let's do it. And they go out there and they take their trumpets and they walk around the city 7 times. And all of a sudden, the 7th day, the whole thing comes down. How do you think he's doing that? He's not doing that by senses. He's doing that by faith. Amen. Isn't it right? He's got a revelation that this is exactly what God says. And God wants me to do it. I'm just playing my part here. I'm just caught up in this. In other words, the anointing that was on him is also an anointing that's on me. And I am joined with him under this anointing. What else can you say? What else can you say about Gideon? What else can you say about Samson? That despite their mistakes, they were joined to God by the anointing that was on them. Because God is the anointed one. Isn't that right? Do you believe that Samson had an anointing when he pulled down those pillars? Yes. Sure. Do you believe that Gideon was anointed when, he went through the camp and all of the enemy, the Philistines there were destroyed? Let me tell you, that wasn't Gideon's power. That wasn't Gideon's mental prowess. That was the anointing of God that rested on him. And the anointing that was on God was upon them to join them in fulfilling God's promise and God's word. Amen. Oh, wow. It makes you act where you do not think the five senses would ever think about it. The devil can get into those five senses and lie to you. But he cannot touch that super sense. Oh, that's good to know. The devil can get into that five senses and lie to you. And you can feel like, oh, you know, I've been in an altar and, I wept and I cried and I really felt close to God. And then 2 weeks later, you're back in the same sinful pit that you were in from a month ago. You know what? I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to weep at an altar. Not at all. I think it's a good thing. And I will tell you this. This is where you're supposed to say, take the liberty, Brother Barry. Preach it, Brother Barry. Go for it, Brother Barry. Come on, Brother Barry. Come on! That's where you're supposed to say that, okay? But now it doesn't matter. But I'll say this, it may be time that we reopen the altar. It may be time where we call some people to the altar, because if you're sitting there, young or old, and you think that it's okay for you to cut your hair, you've missed the point. I can tell you where you're getting your revelation. If you think it's okay for a woman or a girl to cut your hair, I can tell you where you're getting your revelation. If you think it's okay to wear skirts that are above your knees or, to split skirts that are indecent and so forth. And you know what? You may be dressed fine here in church because it's church. But if you're dressing one way in church and living another way outside, you know what? Maybe we need to open the altar again. Because you're not meant to be just Christians on Sunday and Wednesday. You may not watch anything bad on your phone today, because it's Sunday and you're in church. You may not even have your phone on in church, which is a good thing. But you know, if your life on the phone, if your life on social media or your guidance under social media is dictating to you to see and do things that are not appropriate, and you're doing it not on church days, but on church days you won't do that. You know what? We have a problem. I can tell you where you're getting your revelation. Huh. you're still supposed to be saying. Now, watch what Brother Branham said. Now, only believers, he said, the elect comes into that. God has chosen you, he that overcometh. And you say, well, I overcome smoking. But that ain't what he's talking about. There's a whole lot more goes to Christianity besides not smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey. What? Bring it. Let me bring it again. There's a whole lot more goes to Christianity besides giving up stuff. There's a whole lot more to Christianity. This is Brother Branham in 1955. There's a whole lot more than just quitting stuff. Hey, listen, I grew up with the tradition of Lent. Lent in the Catholic Church is a 40-day period between Ash Wednesday or whatever it was, Ash Palm Sunday, and when they burnt the, you know, when they burnt the palms, and that was the signification of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the Catholic Church takes the palms, they burn them and make ashes. The ashes is what they put the cross on the forehead of the people who are Catholics. You ever seen it? I've seen people on TV, you know, like on the news or something, and they on the internet, and they got a cross on their head. And they're Catholics because it's Ash Wednesday. So that's what they have. And that's the tradition that they have. And so there's all of these traditions that are associated with church here. And in the Lent tradition, you're supposed to give up something over that 40 days. So if you really like bacon, you're supposed to give up bacon. I want you to know that's a doctrine of the devil. Listen, when they can put the taste of bacon in a capsule and a vitamin and call it a vitamin, I'm in. And so the Catholics, we as Catholics, were always made to feel good because we successfully gave up red licorice for 40 days. We did it. Or you didn't go to a movie theater for 40 days. Or you didn't, you couldn't do serious things like smoking or drinking because that was too serious. But there were things that you could give up for 40 days. Or there were things that you took up. Listen, we were nuts, but yeah, I remember for 40 days one year we ate rice. We ate other things, but we ate rice every day because we were trying, as a part of Lent, we were trying to identify with the boat people who were coming out of Vietnam and places like that. Remember the boat people? You older folks, remember the boat people? And they traveled on the oceans, you know, they rowed their way to safety out of hostile nations. And all we read in the news that all they had to eat was rice. So we ate rice for 40 days to try to identify with the poor boat people who were floating around in some warm ocean over there. That's all they had. That's all they could take with them. And so we felt like we were doing our duty, and we felt pretty good at the end of the 40 days. Don't try it. It's terrible. It's terrible. But in other words, what I'm telling you is that when you get into a tradition of doing something, you can feel like you're doing it and feel like that's what God wants. I'm telling you this morning, God is above your feelings. Right. Knowing God does not depend on your five senses. It's got to come like Peter got it, where he says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed that to you. So let me ask you this. What would you answer to the question that Jesus is asking? Who do you say that this message reveals? Who do you say that God has revealed himself as in this last day? And are you wearing skirts and dresses, girls, just because that's what the pastor teaches and that's what the message teaches, so I've heard, and that's what, that's what I'm supposed to do? Or is it, let me ask you this, girls, young girls, is it a revelation on the inside that a woman has to dress modestly? Because that's the Bible. Amen. And the Bible says very clearly that a woman should dress modestly and not have enough money wrapped up in her fingernails that when she comes through the store, she's going to set off fire alarms. You know, people, they're, wow. Sometimes I've seen it and I think, I wish I had the money they have to put into their nails. I wish I had enough expendable cash that, like they have to invest in their nails. It's like the people whose body have become a canvas and are full of tattoos. And I think, wow, I wish I had free time enough to be able to just go somewhere and sit for 5 hours and let somebody paint on me. Not that I would ever do that. But I'm saying they got time to do that. They got money to do that. And they invest in that. Oh, I'll tell you what, I would rather do something else with my time. I'd rather do something else with my money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that we don't refrain from stuff just because, you know, Brother Branham said something about it or the pastor got up and preached about it. That's not why we do it. We do it because we believe whom we're worshiping and whom we're serving today is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I am attached to him by the anointing that was on him. That's the same anointing that's on us. When the new birth comes, you are changed. You don't have to do anything to prove it. I'm only saying what the tapes say. You don't have to do a thing to prove whether you are born again. Your life proves it as you walk. Love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, holiness. Is that all right? I mean, if the Holy Spirit's in you, what kind of spirit are you going to have? A floozy spirit? Or a harlot spirit? Or a homosexual spirit if you're a guy? Don't tell me those spirits don't exist around the message community. With the tight pants and the fluffy hair and the makeup and all the rest of it. Don't tell me it doesn't exist. It does exist. And all of a sudden there are girls who are feeling like, oh, wow, I can take all kinds of liberties here because, you know, I go to this church or that church or something else. And you know, very often, and I've said this to several people this week here, here's Brother Branham as a prophet, and he's saying, I go across the country and I preach it as hard as I can, and I come back next year, and guess what? Things ain't any better, they're worse. It's not because Brother Branham doesn't have a good ministry. It's not because God is not with Brother Branham. It's not because there are not signs and wonders. All of that is present. It doesn't depend. Listen, it doesn't depend on Brother Branham. It depends on the hearers of the word. Whether they're hearing it on this level, oh, we love the church. We love to come to church. Oh, we have a great church. We have a great choir. We have lovely pews, and we have church dinners, and we have a great youth group, and we go here, and we go there, and we go to all the meetings, and we get to visit with our girlfriend, our boyfriend at the, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but we go to all the meetings, and it's really great, and so forth, and you know what? That's the level they're at. But let me go a little further and say, who do you think this message reveals? Who do you think that Brother Branham unveiled to us in this last day? That's what you are. The world sees the reflection of Taylor Swift in me. I had to think because I couldn't remember her name. The world sees the reflection of the fashions of this world. You know what I'm trying to say here? The world should see more than just that in us. We should be tattooless. We should be jewelryless, like, you know, embedded jewelryless. We should be gentle, long-suffering. We should not have women that have an iron fist ruling their houses and ruling their husbands. Come on, somebody say amen. We should not have that. Because the Holy Ghost in a woman will make her on the gentle, meek side. Now, you know, we're all opinionated. We all have strong values and ideals and all. We all have that. And thank God for that. Because Christians are not pushovers at all. But I tell you, there is a godly order in the house. There is a godly order in the house. And a man should not have to fight his way to the top. A man should not have to fight his way to permission to do something in his house. Are we okay? And you guys that want to marry a girl, you should look closely. And you should look closely at the house she comes out of. And guy and girls, you should look closely at this guy. You should look closely at the house he comes out of. Because you got to wonder who's wearing the pants in that family. Because that guy has learned everything about marriage from that family. Are we okay? That's what you are. The whole world should see Jesus Christ reflected in you. Amen. And you know what Jesus' constant theme was? Whatsoever the Father shows me, that's what I do.
That's right.
If I'm supposed to go to church, I'm going to go to church. But listen, and I apologize for saying that wrong. I'm not going to church because that's what the rules say. I'm not going to church because I can show you 10 quotes right away where Brother Bram said you should go to church. There should be a desire within our hearts to be in the house of God, where God's presence is going to show up. I want to be in Beulah Land. Beulah Land is where God hangs out with his people. I want to be in that place. I'm not here just because there's a girl coming here. I want to be here not because I get to play the piano today. I want to be here because the presence of God comes, and that's what thrills me more than anything else. I'm in this because of him, not because of anybody else. I'm in this because, of my passion for Christ, not because of the blessing that's on my life that runs my business successfully. That's not why I'm in it. I'm in it because I love Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God was pushing Peter to say, but who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? Because you know what? Jesus knew, he knew something. He knew that one day, he would say unto his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He knew one day he would be sending his disciples out on a mission. Let me ask you, who do you think God would pick to go out and represent him in this world? Who do you think God would pick in order to preach his name among all of the nations of the world? Who do you think that God would pick? Now, there's a lot of people who joined up and said, hey, I want to be a preacher. You know, I see those tides coming in. I want to be a preacher. We have that. We know we have that. But I'm saying, who would God pick? Who would God choose of his own choosing to go and represent him? Somebody who just had a revelation of the church, or somebody who has a revelation of Jesus Christ as the Christ of God, the anointed of God? Who would he pick? So tell me what your revelation is. I know what all those other people are saying. I knew before I even asked you, who do men say that I am? But I want to know who you are. Tell me where you're getting your knowledge. Tell me where you're getting your understanding. And Peter says, well, I just tell you this. He said, I know all those people say all that, but I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bingo, that's it. And that only comes from one place. And that one place is from my Father, which is in heaven. You got it. Bingo. That's it. And you know what? If you've got that, you're on your road to a new birth here. And, wait until you get to the day of Pentecost, and something's going to happen here. And it'll not only be now Jesus with you, but it'll be Jesus in you. It'll be God himself in Morphia in you, in the tabernacle that you're standing in here. It'll be the same Peter as a house, but it'll be a different life on the inside. And you wait till you get that and watch what you do with the gospel when you go out and preach. Are you catching what I'm saying? Jesus is pushing the question because their answer belies their source. Their answer reveals the source of their understanding. Yeah, you should be born again. Well, if I got that kind of experience, I won't be able to do this or that. I'll have to quit this. I mean, I can't show up at a youth event with smoke on my breath. I can't do that. And let me tell you something. If you show up at a youth event with smoke on your breath, I'll know it. Because I grew up in a household full of that. And I know exactly what it smells like. I know exactly what it looks like. And so you're sitting there saying, well, man, if I give my heart to God, now I'll go to church because I like the music, I like the pews, I like the dinners, I like, the events and all of that. Now I'll be a part of the church, but I'm going to stay at that level, because if I really surrender my life to Christ, if I really give in and give my life completely to him, I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that and so forth. And Brother Bram says, that's the devil telling you that stuff. Read the quote. That's the devil telling you that stuff. He's lying to you, especially to you young people. You don't have to drink and smoke. Why? The Holy Spirit, why? Look at this. He's saying, the Holy Spirit is a million times better than all the devil could offer you. Can I get a witness? You don't need a witness. I'll tell you. I did it. I did it on both sides of the fence. And I know what it was like to drink and smoke and do drugs and all of that. I know what it was like to carouse and run around. But I'm telling you here, the life that I live today is a million times better than the life I lived in the hog pen of the world. You don't have to get drunk to have a big time. You don't have to, go through the motions of the world in order to have peace and satisfaction on the inside. You say, but Brother Barry, I want to try it. Good luck with that. It's not going to do you any good. You're going to have scars you wish you never had. But I will tell you this. Take the Lord's way. Take the Lord's way. Follow Him, His way. And I'll tell you, it's a million times better. It's a billion times better. You never go back once you achieve the peace of God. So in other words, you can take the church. If the government took the church, eminent domain, and they took it from us, you know what? I'd still have everything I started with. If the church took away my right to visit the people, I'd still have everything I started with. If the church took away our books, if the church shut down vision books, if the church took our Bibles and said it was illegal for you to own a Bible and bring it to church, I know all you guys got your Bible and brought it to church. And I will tell you this, that if the government said you couldn't own a Bible now, and you certainly can't be given Bibles over in the third world countries over there, you certainly can't be doing that, I'd still have everything that I had when I started. Because there's something the devil can't touch. We read it before. Brother Bram said you got five senses. And he says, but the sixth sense is something the devil cannot touch. He cannot take from you. That's what you should strive for. Lord, give me that faith. Give me that faith that you are the Christ. Give me that revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, I want you to reveal that to me. I don't want it to come from Brother Barry today. I don't want it to come from my mom and dad. I don't want it to come from my grandpa who's a preacher. I want it to come directly from you. And I will tell you something. When you hold your empty cup up to God that way, God will fill it. Amen. I said, God will fill it. When you hold your hand up to God and say, Lord, I want to know. I want to be a child of God. I want to know. I believe that He'll give it to you. Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible. Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible, but God revealed it to Abel by revelation. And then Brother Branham goes right to Matthew 16 and reads it all, blessed art thou, Peter, and so on. Bottom line, and he is the revelation of God made manifest in flesh and revealed to the world. He was in the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, revealing what God was. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, the revelation of the word in season. I believe you're the Son of the living God. Amen. I believe you're the Christ. And I believe you're here in fulfillment of the book of Isaiah's prophecy, which says that our Savior would become a suffering Savior and die for the sins of the world. And they didn't fully understand all what Jesus was about to go through. They didn't fully understand everything that Jesus was going to endure in dying the death on the cross that he did. But eventually, they came to realize he truly was the Messiah. He truly was the Christ, and he truly rose from the dead. He truly conquered death, hell, and the grave. And truly, we have no more fear of death. We have no more fear of life after this life. We have no more fear about where Sister Connie Hughes is today. I have no fear about where my mother is today. I have no fear about, where Sister Greg is today. Many of you don't know Sister Greg. I have no doubt where Sister Greg is today. I have no doubt about where those that have passed away who are members of our assembly and people you know and love, they were Christians and they were, they may have lived in another part of the world, another time, another way of life and everything else. But let me tell you, Jesus said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And no one or nothing or no false doctrine are able to pluck them out of my hand. They are secure today as they were when the Lamb's Book of Life was written in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. Death has not taken away what God knew they had. Amen. But I will tell you this, when I ask you the question, but who do you say this is? I'd have to say that your answer reveals, and your answer may not be verbal, but the answer of your life in obedience to the gospel tells me where you got your revelation. Because the people who know God have a peace. The people who know God have an anchor that even when everything goes wrong, And even when everything explodes and turns upside down, and even when we're just about to roll over to $4 a gallon here in our fair community, even when we face uncertainty in the times we live in. And I will tell you, folks, the issues in our world that we see in the headlines are not settled, and they are not settling. Because you, for one, don't know a whole lot about what Russia is doing. And you don't know a whole lot about what's happening in Israel. Because that doesn't sell newspapers. That doesn't sell in the news right now. But I will tell you that I believe all of this is God moving his players in position, and he's got everything out of the blue, and there are things that are taking place, and there's a bride. And you know what? God is gathering that bride and putting the bride in the places that he wants to put her in and positioning her under ministries that are meant to give them the kind of rapturing faith they need to have. Because all of this is going to happen when the bride goes. All of that's going to happen. That's a triggering event. When the bride is taken away, that's a triggering event for all the other things to happen. Our Armageddon and the 3.5 years of Moses and Elijah and all the tribulation for the Gentiles. All of that will happen because of one thing, and that's the secret going away of the church. And I will tell you, what God gave us this message for is the secret going away of the church. He's preparing you. He's building virtue, and he's building character, and he's building everything else that you need to have over there. But he's also refining everything that you need to have over here to overcome this world, not just to live and coast along with it, but to overcome this world so that one day you would stand and say, hey, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. And that word lives in me. That's what God is wanting you to say. God is wanting you to say that word lives. He's alive in me. He's not off in a distance somewhere. He's alive in me. And you know what? He can't leave here without me because I'm a part of him. By the anointing of us as a bride of Christ, we are connected with him in the mission that he revealed himself in this last day. Brother Bram said it was all hidden, but in the last day, the cover's taken off and he's revealed through those seven seals to reveal himself as the Son of Man. Exactly as he promised he would in the last day. We look at this message, and what do we see? We don't necessarily see Brother Branham. We thank God for Brother Branham, but we're not looking at Brother Branham. We see this message, and we look at all the other things that happen in the world. No, to me, I'll tell you personally, my own testimony is when I look at this message and I look at the Bible, I see one thing, and that one thing is Christ. Amen. I see him. That's right. And I believe that's what we should be seeing at the moment that we're living in. There's nobody appreciates Brother Branham, I don't think, more than me. There's probably nobody who's printed more messages of Brother Branham outside of Roy Borders than me. And I'm thankful for the others that have printed the message and duplicated tapes and sent it all out and built the websites where the message is available. We thank God for that prophet. We thank God for that voice that sounded unashamedly in our world in this last day. I thank God for him standing against single-handedly against all the denominational systems of this world and the Catholic Church and the rabbis and everybody else that came against him and doubted him and abused him and belittled him and all the other, insulted him and all the other things. I thank God for them. I thank God for John Wesley. I thank God for Martin Luther and what he did. I can relate to that. I thank God for all those men of God down through the ages that stood, and some of them paid for their beliefs and their revelation by their life. But they stayed by it because they knew it was right. They knew it was God. And I thank God for Brother Branham, and I thank God for the Bride of Christ. But I tell you what, if we lost it all, we'd have Christ. And we should be able to answer that question. And let me tell you, Jesus was not just asking Peter. Jesus is asking you this morning, who do you say that I am? I say you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one that is here to collect his bride, to take her away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good to us. Amen. It's not enough to know that we are just sinners saved by grace. It's not enough. Let me tell you, God didn't call a church. God didn't build a church just to have a group of people. God didn't collect people just so he'd have money. God didn't do that. I believe God wanted to gather a people who would, by revelation, know their place in the gospel. Because the seals unveil him, and in the unveiling of him, it unveils who we are. It unveils who we are. The true bride of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I am very thankful for that revelation that we have. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's sing Shout to the Lord. What key are we in there? Is it C? I think it is. B flat. All right, let's sing it together. Everybody now. Now is our time to worship. Is that all right? I've said enough. Now is our time to worship and to give back to God now. And let the words come like seed that fall in your heart. And let the worship be like the rain that falls on top of the seed. It's exactly what God wants, because he wants to produce something in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are God alone. From before time began, you are God alone. You know what? I believe that the power of God is present to heal in this building this morning. I believe what you need to do is just raise your hand. Yeah, I believe this as well. You should ask God to make your heart singular. Lord, make my heart focused on one thing. Because let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing when your heart is set on one thing, but you're physically in another thing. If you're in a marriage and your eye is on another person, that marriage is in trouble. When you're in a job and your heart's on doing something else, you're not going to do very well in that job. You're in this church, your heart's over here somewhere, you're not going to have a very good spiritual experience here. That's not how it works. You should ask God, Lord, make my heart singular. You have called me for this age and this generation. You have placed me where you placed me. Lord, make me solid and strong right where I am. Help me to be totally invested here. You know what? When Jesus spoke to Peter and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter told him. He didn't say, okay, great. Now, here's what you need to do. Here's what I want you to do. And do that. He doesn't do that at all. He doesn't give him any instructions at all. He says, hey, you know, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth is bound on earth in heaven. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, or bound on earth. And that's all he tells him. You know why? Because if he's got Christ in him, he's going to lead him to do what God wants him to do. We don't give you a list of instructions here and a booklet that says how to be an HBT member. We don't need to do that. If you've got the Holy Ghost, it's going to lead you and guide you according to the Word of God. And your obedience reflects where you got your revelation from. Glory to God. Oh, I'll tell you what, I could preach it all again. All right, let's sing. Let's worship him.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. Times and bad, you are on your own.
Hallelujah. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. Nothing is able to bring you down. Do you realize he is that way because he's the anointed one? But you cannot continue to think of yourself as disconnected from that. If you're a member of the Bride of Christ, you're anointed with the same anointing he's anointed with. Not just all bottled and confined in one person, but in a many-membered Bride of Christ. So you know what? That makes you unshakable. That makes you unchangeable. Come on, somebody with eternal life doesn't have it, lose it, have it, lose it, and have it, lose it. If you've got eternal life, if you're have that kind of anointing on you, you're unshakable. Does that mean the devil quits? No, he doesn't. He even tries to shake harder. But let me tell you, you're unshakable. You're unmovable. You're unstoppable. The devil cannot stop you from entering in the glory with the bride when she leaves here. The devil cannot stop you. My voice has just about had it. The devil cannot stop you from entering into heaven because you're unstoppable. The devil can rattle your cage. Ever seen a great white shark come down and rattle the cages of those nuts who go in there inside the cage and go down in the water, right? And they're wanting to be inside the cage. That's crazy. But the white shark will rattle that cage anyway because I want to get you. And the devil will come and do exactly the same thing. He'll come and rattle your cage. But can he get you? No. You're unshakable. Can he stop you? No, you're unstoppable. Glory to God. What are we singing? You are my strength when I am weak.
You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all.
let's bow our heads together. If you have a need this morning, raise your hand, raise it confidently, and bring your need before Him today. Heavenly Father, as we raise our hands before You with confident expectation, we come, Lord, into Your presence not because we are worthy, but because You have chosen us. You have predestinated us and ordained us to stand in Your presence today. And we believe, Lord, the revelation we have of You comes from You. And that changes our lives. It changes everything. And so, Lord, I pray as we come with the needs that we have in this natural life, in this natural broken bodies that we have, and the pressures of a world falling apart, and all the tension that's associated with it, I ask, Lord, that You would just be mindful of these people, Lord. And I don't know all of their concerns, but I sure know that You know. And I know, Lord, that Your resources are inexhaustible. Your prophet said You were the inexhaustible fountain of life. And so, Lord, move on the scene, I pray. Those that are listening online, those who are not with us today for various reasons, we commit them into Your care. We want to say we love You, Lord, and we thank You. Bring healing to those that have been mentioned, Lord, I pray. And Father, may Your grace extend to them. We love You. We thank You. We thank You for the understanding we have of the times we live in. We thank You, Lord, because we know Your purpose in bringing this message. And we thank You, Lord, for the fact that we can stand solid with it. And we are as unshakable and as unmovable as You. So, Lord, I pray You minister to our hearts. Bless our week going forward. And we'll give You praise and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea.
I feel like I'm glad I came to church today. I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about that, but I do. All right, here's what we're going to do. If you're 13 and over, if you're in Peter and Rachel's youth group, I want you to sit down. 13 and over. If you're in Peter and Rachel's youth group, you can sit down. And everybody else is dismissed as we sing this chorus again. God bless you as you go today. My home is in the Lord from this time on and evermore.